Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators hosting the Calgary Flames tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pregame coverage starting right here at 6 p.m. on 102.5, The Game. And joining us now to talk about the Predators is Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, Happy New Year. Appreciate you for joining us. So the Nashville Predators may very much so find themselves in a fringe playoff spot, a couple of points back, a couple of points up. But I think now it's a fair time that we can talk about the Predators legitimately vying for a playoff spot. So could you possibly see the Predators making a trade around the trade deadline to possibly push themselves over into a playoff spot?
Sorry, Carolyn, you cut out there at the end. What was the last part of the question?
Could you possibly see the Predators making a move around the trade deadline to kind of push themselves over over the line to make a push for the playoffs?
Like, you know, I think this. I think you guys have a long-term plan. And if it was something that made sense, like the cost wasn't prohibitive or anything like that, I could see, like, it has to make sense. Like, I don't think you guys are trading, like, a first-round draft pick or a really good prospect for it, unless it's someone who's young and has a lot of term. Like, you know, so that's kind of the way I look at it. If there's a small move there that can help you, or you're using your cap space to take someone's problem and you either get paid for it or you get nothing of a cost to get a decent player. Like, one of the guys I kind of wonder about is Kuzmenko from Vancouver. You know, earlier this year we talked about Garland from Vancouver. They were looking to move him. They needed to create cap room. And I think you guys were a team they talked to. Would you be willing to take Garland? It won't cost you a lot. And, you know, would you be willing to do it? And I think you guys looked at it and ultimately decided not to. I also wonder about a player like Kuzmenko. He had a really good year last year. He struggled this year. The coach isn't liking what he's seeing. He's signed for another year in the $5 million range. He's a good player, a talented player. And I'm sure Vancouver would be happy to say, all right, if you want to do this, either we'll incentivize you a bit or it's not going to cost you anything except the money. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's the kind of player you guys are looking at. He's a player who's a bit down this year. He's better than he's shown. It's not going to cost you anything that will hurt your future to get it. And I think, Carolyn, if you guys are going to make a move, it's going to be that kind of a move.
Interesting. And that is one thing that Barry Trotz had mentioned is, look, we're not going to sacrifice the 2025, 2026, 2027 Predators in order to push the 2024 Predators over the line. But if there's a perfect marriage that's out there that's not going to hurt the future but it's going to help us now, then great. Seems like a no-brainer. But, I mean, to that point, going back on the question that I originally asked you, do you think it's fair for Predators fans, for us, to be talking about the Predators being a playoff team?
Absolutely it is. Fans are fans. And, you know, I think at the beginning of the year, we all didn't know what was going to happen. And now you're sitting here, you're three games away from the halfway point. And not only are you in playoff position in terms of games played, but you're in playoff position also in points percentage. Like, sometimes at this time of year, and Carolyn, the standings get a bit muddled, because not everybody has played the same amount of games. So I always look at points percentage. You guys are at 566. That's a playoff points percentage right now. You know, Edmonton is 4 points back with three games in hand. But the thing about, you know, Arizona's 3 points back with two games in hand. But the thing about those games is you got to win them. Mm-hmm. And right now you've got the same. You've got a better points percentage than Arizona. You've got a better points percentage in Edmonton. So you're in the race. And I think it's perfectly normal and perfectly acceptable for fans to say, fans of the Predators who pay their hard-earned money to go see them, to say, hey, this might be a playoff team this year. And I think the Predators probably enjoy that. It means there's buzz about the team. People are going to the games. But I think there's also a big picture that an organization has to have about where are we honestly. And if you're going to do things, they have to be responsible. They have to be smart. And I think that's what the Predators are going to do. I think they're enjoying this. I think they're enjoying being in the race. But anything they do is going to have a long-term view to it. Our best draft picks, they're not going anywhere. Our best prospects, they're not going anywhere unless you blow our socks off and give us a deal we can't say no to.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman. And Elliot, on the 32 thoughts, you guys had one that's right up D-Mace's alley here, because you got into a great, I think, philosophical discussion of the value of a goalie as opposed mm-hmm. to the value of a quarterback in football. And you mentioned this, like for fantasy football purposes, that you can always get a quarterback that's going to get you some points. There's only maybe a few that are going to separate you and are worth picking higher or putting more investment into. And you can make that case in this day and age of goalie. It's interesting perspective in Nashville, where you have UC Soros, who might be one of those guys who is worth more because he does maybe separate mm-hmm. you from this large pool of goalies that you can be successful with, a Darcy Kemper, for example. But you brought up Joe Flacco, who played some really good seasons with D-Mace in Baltimore, as a great example mm-hmm. of right guy, right team that can win a Super Bowl, but he goes to a different team and he's not nearly as effective. That's happening a lot with goalies right now, isn't it?
It's wild. You know, like Martin Jones got run out of San Jose and he got run out of Seattle, and now he's saving the season in Toronto. Cam Talbot was run out of Ottawa and left Minnesota because he basically lost his starting job. And now he's, you know, he's doing an unbelievable job in Los Angeles. And it was actually a GM that made the Flacco comparison to me. He said, I think goalies are right now like quarterbacks. There's eight who are the elite of the elite. And if you don't have one of those, you're scrambling to find the right combination. And the thing that, you know, he says it terrifies you is that in some cases there's no rhyme or reason to why a guy works in one situation and doesn't work in another. So I think that the people of Nashville should wake up every morning and pray to whatever deity they believe in and say, thank God that we've got one of them.
So with that in mind, you mentioned that Winnipeg made that same assessment, that Connor Hellebuyck, who's a little older than UC Soros and also a workhorse like Soros, but they said, you know what, he's one of those special guys. We're going to invest big and believe that he's going to do it for the long haul. Do you think that's still probably the Predators' mindset right now? Even though Askarov came up, had an exciting win, he looks like he's going to be the real deal over time. But so how do you feel about what you're hearing about Soros these days?
Well, I mean, Barry Trotz is on the record as saying he's our guy. And I do think you guys thought about it last year at the deadline. I think there was a team that came forward and said, what would it take? I don't know, but I've wondered if it was the Kings, as a matter of fact, who said, what would it take? And I think there were some conversations back and forth, but obviously it never happened. And now you guys are saying, no, he's our guy, and we'd like to keep him. And, you know, I would do the same thing. I mean, look, like, one thing we know is that goalies can play a little later. And two, teams sometimes have identities. And if you look at the history of the Nashville Predators, they've always had consistent goaltending. And the last guy you had in there has got his number retired. So, like, I look at Rene, and he was the backbone of your team for a long time, and now you have a guy who's got a chance to be the similar thing. I you know, Barry Trotz benefited from Rene. He knows what it's like to have one of these goalies. I think it's your preference to keep him, and it's always contingent on two sides working out a deal, but I've got no reason to believe Soros is in any way unhappy.
Another thing you guys kicked around is there are a number of teams that would love to get another good goalie, even if it's just a backup goalie. So you've got Kevin Lankinen, who's in the last year of his contract, and you've got Askarov, who's still super young and maybe not as refined as he will be in another couple of years. But what kind of position does that put you in? Because, it, like you guys were saying, the market, a lot of teams that do have the extra goalie are holding out and saying, oh, if you want this goalie, you got to pay and pay dearly. So what, that seems to put the Predators in a pretty good position there.
Well, I think it puts them in a really good position. And there's nothing I saw from Askarov in that game in Washington that would make me fear that he's not ready for a bit more of a role. Now, I think what you want to do is I think you want to ease him in. He played very well on a high-pressure start. I was very impressed. You see the ability there. You see what this guy is capable of. And you just say, all right, we're plugging in this one night, you're going back, and we've got a plan. And you know what that plan is. Landon might be done at the end of the year, and Askarov comes in there and takes over as a backup. And, I think it used to be that in this league, if you were ready, they said, okay, now you get your 60 games, your 65 games, you're the number one guy. It's not the way it works anymore. But the top goalies aren't supposed to play that much. The schedule really doesn't allow it. And the backups get more games. So Askarov can break into the NHL to really work in practice against regular shooters and playing, 25, 30 games a year. And, like I said, watching him on Saturday night against Washington, I didn't see a guy who was overwhelmed by the moment. I didn't see a guy who looked out of place. I saw a guy who was like he's going to be a really good goalie for a long time.
Yeah, I do think that's something that maybe hasn't been considered as much, that you could have Askarov kind of like Saros under Rene for even a few seasons as the backup, still get enough room to where you could develop and play enough games. So, Elliot, let's shift the focus here to Calgary, the opponent for the Predators tonight. That's another team that really is at a crossroads, isn't it? They're right there at 500. They've got a good team that's playing well when they're right, but they've got big decisions to make with some of their contracts.
And I think they're in the process of doing that. They've already traded Nikita Zadorov, one of their defenses of Vancouver. Another one of their D, Noah Hanifin, they basically had a verbal agreement to sign him earlier in the year, and then it kind of came up to a rough streak and it kind of went away. So I think it's more likely than not ESL. Then eventually, first hand, I think they'd like to keep him. We'll see. And they have a center, Elias Lindholm, who I think Colorado in particular really has its eyes on. And I think they're going to make changes. I think the calendar dictates they're going to have to make changes simply because a lot of these contracts are up. And, I think that some of these players, the apps are in places that the Flames just aren't comfortable with. So I think more and more, most of these players will be dealt sooner or probably later rather than sooner and closer to the deadline because teams are so capped out. But I think the one thing about Calgary is the thing that's been good for them this year is that they realize that some of their young players are ready to contribute. You never know if these guys are ready to play roles. I think they're learning that some of them are definitely ready.
Elliot Friedman is with us, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, on New Year's Day, we had the Winter Classic where Sir Mix-a-Lot doing the intros. You had the Pike Place Market.
And let's not forget Hart. Let's not forget Hart, a great 70s band there from Seattle, too.
Never want to forget them either. Sir Mix may just still be a little bit higher in my personal hierarchy.
Yep.
But it was the lowest rated Winter Classic game of all outdoor games, 1.1 million viewers. It's not lost on me that the NHL was competing with the Rose Bowl, was competing with Michigan and Alabama football. It's not lost on me that one player in the Winter Classic, the Seattle Kraken, they also had a local college team playing in the college football playoff later on that day. So the lowest ratings of any Winter Classic game. What's the NHL's plan to increase viewership and interest, at least in the United States?
Well, I think one of the things is that, if we have a situation, and I'm not sure the way the schedule is going to work next year, Carolyn, But I know the playoffs are expanding to 12 teams, right? So I'm not sure. And one question I have is, what the schedule? Is it still two games on New Year's Day, or does that change? I'm not sure. I mean, one thing you can do is you can take, if this was a West Coast Classic, so it was at 12 local, which is 2 your time, 3 my time. Most of the Winter Classic games are played in new local, so you can put it in a place. I think one is bring it back to the Eastern time zone or your time zone, and you know, and be in a situation where it gets away from those games if it's still at, you know, 4 or 8 o'clock Eastern. That's one solution. I think the other thing is, you know, as you mentioned, it was the lowest rated Winter Classic. There's one game, the highest rated game on US TV this year, with ESPN's opening that game between Connor Bedard and Sidney Crosby, Chicago, and Pittsburgh. And they did not announce this year what they were doing with the Winter Classic. But while I was there, I was in Seattle, and I was asking people, where is it going to be next year? People were saying to me, I'll give you one hint. Who do you think that we want in the game next year? And the answer is Connor Bedard. And, you know, they want their star there. So I wasn't sure if that meant Chicago or home, Chicago on the road. I don't have anything confirmed, but there are definitely people hinting to me it's more than likely going to be Chicago home. So I think Connor Bedard's going to be it. I just don't know who they're playing. Maybe it's as simple as they're not Pittsburgh, but I don't know that.
Yeah, but I have said in the past, I think Major League Baseball and the NHL could do a better job of marketing its superstars. I think the NHL has done a fantastic job of marketing Connor Bedard, that even if you're not a Blackhawks fan, even if you're not an NHL fan, you probably know Connor Bedard's name. So it's tough to see the NHL not have as many eyeballs on the Winter Classic, on such a pageantry like the Winter Classic that we saw on New Year's Day. But Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, we appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us, and we'll chat next week.
A great week. Chat next week. And also, don't forget the flying fish. I thought that was a real big highlight, too.
I wish I could have caught that, Elliot.
We lost Elliot.
We got a little bit of a robo-Elliot. Lost Elliot Friedman there. But I think that – I appreciate you for joining us, Elliot. I think that the NHL's decision to try to compete – the Winter Classic's not always on New Year's Day. Is it? The decision to
compete, it is. It's always on New Year's Day. But I think the problem they ran into was because it was on the West – Coast, you know, in the Pacific, it can't start as early as you want it.
Right.
Like you want it maybe to be like noon,
and it couldn't.
They had to start noon out there is 2 o'clock here, 3 o'clock Eastern, and that ran into the football games. That didn't help. And you have two very new franchises that you don't really have that, you know, generational
fan base
following, fan base. Even though it is defending champs, you know, and Seattle put on a great show, obviously.
Oh,
but
absolutely.
that was a little tough in terms of competition.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing, too, is they have an outdoor series now. Remember, Nashville played Tampa. That game was more in February, right? So they're playing more outdoor games, so it's not quite as unique as it was when they first started the Winter Classic. Mm-hmm. But so many markets want to try an outdoor game. It's huge in the market, right? It's a big event. Like you could see, Seattle, they really got into that.
Yeah.
And they were all in. But for TV ratings, it's not a new thing anymore, right, to see a great outdoor game. So it doesn't really stand out as much as maybe it did the first few years. We were like, snowstorm in Buffalo. Man, they're playing outside. This is crazy.
Was it in Tahoe? I think it was the COVID year where they had to postpone it because the ice was melting outside.
Yeah, the glare was so big out there. Yeah. So that you can run into that from time to time. But
now I wonder what because that just took into account the U.S., right?
That was just the U.S. market.
I wonder what the Canadian market was.
Oh, I'm sure it was much higher. I'm sure it was fine in Canada.
Like,
That's never our problem.
To Alabama, Michigan.
So it's like, we may have dipped here, but if we still have our following, you know, our viewerships, north of the border, then maybe it's not a lose,
and
you know, in a
situation. If your goal is to grow the game in the United States, which I think the NHL's goal is, and at least should be, if you're going up against college football, you're going to lose.
Yeah, you're going to lose no matter what.
Yeah, especially if you're going up against Alabama and Michigan in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
It's a losing battle. And I mean, I don't think
so. That probably killed. And also, it wasn't Seattle jumped ahead, stayed ahead. It wasn't like this back and forth game. So the third period, right there, a lot of casual people are like, "Well, I'll watch this a little bit," but then as soon as the Michigan game starts, I'm flipping over to that. So you probably lost a ton of people there. That you know, if the game's 3-3 and it's oh my gosh, I'll watch the end of this game before I flip over. That's kind of what you were in. Like I know that's what I did. I watched the game until the Michigan State game started. And then I'm like, oh, I got to watch the Michigan game.
With this.
Of course, I wasn't going to win that battle. Everybody in my house is coming over to watch the Michigan game. Like, hey, get this game on. I'm not watching this game.
You're outnumbered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get the game on.
I would have liked to have seen maybe a better strategy from the NHL just to make sure that you didn't have to choose. Because if you have to choose, you're choosing the Rose Bowl. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your thoughts on this. Plus, coming up next, we've been talking a lot about UC Soros, rightfully so, because this team ebbs and flows as UC Soros ebbs and flows. We've been talking about Philip Forsberg and his probably career season so far this season. We've talked about Ryan O'Reilly and his invaluable contribution to this team this season. But there's one person that we haven't talked a lot about. Maybe we should. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.